shortness is a relative notion. When it comes to fiction, stories that are thousands of words long, 25,000 characters long, are still considered short stories. One of their chief devotees is my pal Sarah Montague. She produces a radio show and podcast called Selected Shorts, where short fiction gets its close-up. Name-brand actors read them out loud to rapt live audiences. But Selected Shorts doesn't often feature the voices of short fiction writers themselves. So Sarah decided to talk to some of the best around to see how it's going for them. She started with a favorite of mine who edited one of the two new short story anthologies that are just out, Laurie Moore.
You may be lying there quietly resting in the International House of Literature and hear something in the walls, the click and burst of heat through pipes, a difficult settling of eaves, ice sliding off the roof, the scurry of animals, the squawk of a floorboard, someone coming up the stairs.
That's Laurie Moore reading from her introduction to 100 Years of the Best American Short Stories. It perfectly captures the stealthy charm of short fiction. Moore says that assembling the anthology made her feel she was looking at history. The story is what generations of writers called home.
I think of them as like little houses that writers go in and redecorate. Maybe sort of add a room, put different curtains up, put different furniture, different people in it. And then they clear out and someone else moves in.
Heidi Pittler is the series editor for Best American Short Stories and has the long view on how writers furnished the form.
There was a huge amount of stories that were very formulaic. They involved happy characters, detectives, salesmen, and they always, wrapped things up in a very happy ending.
Pittler says the Best American anthology was looking for something different when it debuted in 1915. Something
messier and more reflective of real life. Writers were starting to feel the same way, too. They wanted to feel freer in their stories, to give primacy to character or voice or emotion or style.
One example is Sherwood Anderson's 1921 story, Brothers, which Jane Kaczmarek read at a recent Selected Shorts event.
Yesterday morning, I woke at daybreak and I went for a walk. There was a heavy fog and I lost myself in it. I went down to the plains and returned to the hills, and everywhere the fog was as a wall before me. Out of it, trees sprang suddenly, grotesquely. As in a city street late at night, people come suddenly out of the darkness into the circle of light under a street lamp.
Sherwood Anderson has to be the most influential writer out there. Just his use of the daily vernacular. It's really exciting to say, wow, you're almost reading a family tree here.
Women slowly became part of that mix, like the Southern writer Flannery O'Connor, who described domestic life with a dark, sardonic wit. Her great story, Everything That Rises Must Converge, shows us the tense relationship between a shabby, genteel mother and her petulant son.
She was almost ready to go, standing before the hall mirror, putting on her hat, while he, his hands behind him, appeared pinned to the door frame, waiting like Saint Sebastian for the arrows to begin piercing him. The hat was new and had cost her $7.50. She kept saying, "Maybe I shouldn't have paid that for it." "No, I shouldn't have. I'll take it off and return it tomorrow. I shouldn't have bought it." Julian raised his eyes to heaven. "Yes, you should have bought it," he said. "Put it on and let's go." It was a hideous hat.
Estelle Parsons read O'Connor's story. It was one of many stories that shaped Southern writing, a new territory. As the century progressed, there were other changes, too. Here's Heidi Pittler.
The last part of the book is filled with a bunch of stories that are far more diverse, both in terms of voice, but in terms of content, character, experience, economics, place.
These new voices were enabled by a new market, the MFA program. As print magazines declined, college programs expanded. In the 1980s, there were just a handful. Now there are thousands. Detractors say they produce cookie-cutter fiction and are prone to a certain preciousness. A Twitter persona called Guy in Your MFA has 64,000 followers.
I didn't really feel like any of your characters were complex, you know? I related to Holden Caulfield on a level you wouldn't understand. Your protagonist didn't drink whiskey even once. Sometimes it feels like my darlings are killing me.
But writing is, after all, a craft.
Think about it almost like there's been a proliferation of great carpentry schools that have opened up all over the country.
Hannah Tinty is a fiction writer and the editor of One Story magazine.
And now when you walk around, there are a lot of really well-made tables. And then every once in a while, you see one that's an artisanal table that's extraordinary, made out of a really unique piece of wood with carvings, you know, that you look at and you're like, only that singular person could have made that table.
Because stories aren't just a craft, they're an art. George Saunders is the author of the best-selling collection The 10th of December and the recipient of a MacArthur Genius Award.
Almost every story has that dynamic where you start off with something. You become increasingly fond of that something. You start to see what your story is about. You're being very confident. You're a skilled professional. And then the story says, no. That's in the next room over for boring people. In this room, you have to continue to thrill me to the end, which means you have to take whatever you've created and start interrogating it and messing with it.
And that's what the Best American Anthology and Ben Marcus's New American Fiction celebrate.
I wanted to maybe have my face rubbed in what mattered and what's important and what people are afraid of. There's, to me, a deep and bottomless entertainment in a kind of fiction that does not look away from some fairly basic truths about what it is to be a person in the world.
One of Marcus's picks for the New American Fiction Anthology was 80-year-old Robert Coover's Going for a Beer. It's read here by the late Isaiah Sheffer.
He finds himself sitting in the neighborhood bar drinking a beer at about the same time that he began to think about going there for one. In fact, he has finished it. Perhaps he'll have a second one, he thinks, as he downs it and asks for a third. There's a young woman sitting not far from him who's not exactly good-looking, but good-looking enough, and probably good in bed, as indeed she is. Did he finish his beer? Can't remember.
It seems almost light and comedic, and yet, by the end, we're entirely undone. There's something sort of devastating that's been achieved. I'm very attracted to stories that, even though they seem perhaps to be more strictly comic, are slowly doing deeper work.
George Saunders thinks this is what happens when a sophisticated form returns to its roots.
Seems like the direction the story is going is almost a reversion back to the stories that were told in caves.
Even if the cave is now an iPhone, more people are doing that reading on their phones and their tablets, inspiring lower word counts and more flash fiction, says Hannah Tinty. But still, we need stories as much, if not more, than we ever did.
I think there's something unique about reading a short story that you can sit down and in 10 or 15 minutes have a complete artistic experience. It can completely transform your life, really. And it's all about creating those elusive moments of deep connection between the writer, the artistic creator, and their reader that sort of transcends time and creates a moment of knowing.
In George Saunders' The Semplica Girl Diaries, a middle-class family struggles to keep up with the Joneses. But the story tips into the surreal when they install garden sculptures made from the living bodies of migrant girls.
I think Freud said that the story is a dream, but with discipline.
Saunders says that the story started with a dream and was 14 years in the making. Towards the middle, the baffled dad and diarist asks a question to which the short story itself may be the answer.
Someday, I'm sure, dreams will come true. But when? Why not now? Why not?
That was Michael Cerveris reading from The Semplica Girl Diaries by George Saunders. And Sarah Montague is the producer of the radio show and podcast Selected Shorts.